making TV special.
Dennis. Made with creamy butter.
And you know what that means?
It's happening. I can feel it.
Yep.
Here in Portland, Oregon, that was, of course, the one and only Elliott Smith with Independence Day. And yes, it's coming soon. That track is from his 1998 record, XO. I just had to look up the year. August 25th, 98, just a couple weeks after, I guess, my 21st birthday, which seems like a couple of lifetimes ago. But we're 2 days away from Independence Day, my friends, and this is the B-side of the 175th episode of Media Monarchy. It's July 2nd, 2010. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, as well as what we're going to hit on this B-side, foodworldorder.com and cyberspacewar.com. And we, of course, have so much coming up for the main episode 176. Of course, covering the death of Robert Byrd and what that means for my home state of West Virginia. But we're in Portland, Oregon now, my friends, and we are recording and broadcasting live from the Portland Radio Authority, praradio.org, early on this Friday, July 2nd morning. And we want to go over, before we get to food and cyber. We always want to let you know about all the latest alternative media that either Media Monarchy likes and or is proudly affiliated with. My man Clyde Lewis of GroundZeroMedia.org does a live two-hour show on KUFO here in Portland, Oregon, 101.1 FM, blasting out 50-plus thousand watts all over the Portland metro area and beyond every Sunday night. And you can get the archives thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com. Last Friday was his second of the new monthly live events. Last Friday of every month, Clyde Lewis, Ground Zero, live at the Kenton Masonic Lodge in Portland, Oregon. And you can, of course, buy tickets and listen live from home. And you can get more info from ZeroPointRadio.com and GroundZeroMedia.org. Went to the show last Friday. Got to meet new folks. Got to hang out with good friends. Got to distribute a bunch of copies of the Rock Creek Free Press, which my man Jeff Long from Washington, D.C. and involved in 9/11 Truth in D.C. One of the folks behind the fantastic newspaper Rock Creek Free Press, which you can read and download PDF on their page, rockcreekfreepress.com. But for the past couple of months, Jeff's been sending me issues, and I've now gotten into the groove of figuring out how I can distribute these newspapers, been putting them at work, and I got the go-ahead. It's on the free media news pamphlet table. It's what it's for. And unless somebody's trashing them, every time I go back, they're all gone. Every time I put 10 or 15, they're always gone. Now, some of the headlines are quite provocative, screaming from the top of the page, "Did the CIA kill Jimi Hendrix?" That's going to get a lot of folks to grab newspapers. Just got the July issue in, so again, we're going to be spreading those out, and we'll try and continue to grow a sort of West Coast distro for the Rock Creek Free Press, if you will. We should also know they're good enough to run my logo, MediaMonarchy.com, under their weekly podcast. They mention myself, as well as CorbettReport.com, who we're going to get to the latest from him in just a moment. Let me clear my throat. Clyde Lewis's last episode was called The Pledge of a Grievance. I love his titles. And it featured guests Tracy Twyman and Johnny Liberty, all of which are going to be back at the Kenton Masonic Lodge, the aforementioned Masonic Lodge, on Denver Avenue here in Portland, Oregon. They are doing a live event tonight, July 2nd. And if I can hold up, I'm going to do my best to make it out there. You can listen to that latest Ground Zero episode again, thanks to ZeroPointRadio.com with Tracy Twyman and Johnny Liberty. You can listen to Johnny Liberty appearing on Tracy's podcast called The Invisible Hand. And you may recall The Invisible Hand interviewed yours truly in regards to FoodWorldOrder.com. So there you have it, all the latest from Clyde Lewis, GroundZeroMedia.org, TracyTwyman.com, and again, the event tonight, all that and so much more. And it goes along with what I think we've referred to more and more here in the last several weeks and months, is turning the virtual connections into real world actionable connections. Not that the online connections aren't actionable, quite the opposite. But it's got to be important to know folks and see folks personally and physically. But the latest episode and alternative open source intelligence media from my man James Corbett of CorbettReport.com, episode 135, the latest entry in the Know Your Toxins series, this time just when you thought that the bone cancer and IQ reduction and hypothyroidism and other ill effects of sodium fluoride couldn't get any worse, you're going to find out that sodium fluoride isn't even sodium fluoride. Find out what they're really putting in the water with Dr. William Hersey and Dr. Paul Conant on episode 135 of the Korber Report, Know Your Toxins, Sodium Fluoride. Of course, all the latest interviews from KorberReport.com, the latest being with Bob Chapman of TheInternationalForecaster.com, always going over the latest econocrash situations, the latest videos from Korber Report. The Sunday update always goes along with the latest episodes. G20 provocateurs, Charlie Veach arrested, and austerity for all. All that and so much more on the latest Sunday update. Another piece of can't-miss, must-see alternative media TV. There's also an interview with Paul Craig Roberts on war with Iran, and we're going to get to all that in the upcoming episode 176, which leads us now to the latest in the ongoing weekly 10-minute video series collaboration between myself of MediaMonarchy.com and James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's called The New World Next Week. Our latest episode for July 1st, 2010, Banks, Heart, Drugs, GM Salmon, Healthy Disorder. Now, the first story we're going to get to in, again, the upcoming episode 176, Banks financing Mexico gangs admitted in Wells Fargo deal. Surprise, surprise, the banksters run their Ponzi operations with a lot of zeros and ones, but also a lot of real drug resources. But the GM Salmon and the Healthy Disorder we're going to get to in this very episode. So let's move now to foodworldorder.com. Been going on for almost a year and a half under the MediaMonarchy.com banner, covering all the attacks from farm to fork, as they say. And on all three of the sites, again, because things are moving at such a rapid pace, I can't post up full articles on the website. There's no way. There's not enough space or time to go over all of it. On each page, I end up posting up just a list of headlines. On Media Monarchy, we call it the News Purge. On Cyberspace Wars, we'll see in a moment, we call it the DEFCON. But here on foodworldorder.com, we call it the Binge and Purge. And this is the July 1st Binge and Purge. Serial killers and seed burners. The first of several from foodsafetynews.com. Kellogg's recalls 28 million boxes of cereal. Apple Jacks, Corn Pops, Fruit Loops, and Honey Smacks. Which, I believe when I was a kid, there were Sugar Smacks, I think. Where's that Super Sugar Crisp? I can't recall. But as some of you know, my regular day gig, I work with these items. And I posted up some recall notices on the pretty much empty shelf spots where we had Apple Jacks and Corn Pops and that kind of junk. But going on right along with that, from naturalnews.com, McDonald's threatened with lawsuit over toys and Happy Meals. This, again, the backlash, I think, and we're going to get to what, if you want to eat well, they're just going to call you crazy. But attacking the fast food nation, and we've gone over in recent weeks how, of course, the advertising all plays into it. You know it. You were a kid on Saturday morning. You saw all those ads and you wanted those cereals. Again, I see it at work. I see the kids. They want it. What I can try and do is be that kid myself and know that I'm a huge cereal aficionado, if you will. And I can try and bridge that gap between what the kid wants and what the mom needs. But enough about that. McDonald's threatened with a lawsuit over toys in Happy Meals again. Parents going after the advertising, the toy tie-in. UK supermarkets selling meat from animals fed on GM crops. That is from The Telegraph. And again, we're tracking the GM backlash. And again, folks from West Virginia to Haiti. And we're going to see that. Haitian farmers to burn donated Monsanto seeds. This is from, again, my man Jeff Long of Rock Creek Free Press, DC 911 Truth, Redacted News, .blogspot.com, and now Don't Forget Haiti. You may recall the recent weather wars going on in Haiti. And as down as they are, here we have Haitian farmers burning the Monsanto seeds that they donated. West Virginia investigating Monsanto for consumer fraud. We grab this from GMWatch.org, but it sources back to a Reuters report. And again, from Food Safety News. And that's where our last few headlines here are all going to come from. Agencies to hold meetings in Chicago, Illinois, and Portland, Oregon on food safety progress. I believe the Chicago meetings are coming up pretty soon, and the Portland meetings, I believe, are going to be held this coming October. And hell, who knows? Let's again put out the call. Let's see if we can somehow get a press pass for someone who wants to go representing foodworldorder.com and see what's up at this food safety progress meeting. That could be something to look into. It could also be boring as hell. Salmonella contamination prompts cat food recall. Chicken of the sea recalled for bad seals. Which only now hits me as being a double entendre funny. In our last headline on the Binge and Purge, serial killers and seed burners, raw milk consumers say, don't turn us in to criminals. That's right, you're a criminal if you want raw milk. And again, we can't even sell it at our store, as progressive as we are. But now let's move to a big one from the New York Times. And again, we covered this on the latest episode of The New World Next Week. GM salmon set to move closer to your table. The Food and Drug Administration is seriously considering whether to approve the first genetically engineered animal that people would eat. Salmon that you can grow at twice the normal rate. The developer of the salmon's been trying to get approval for a decade, but the company now seems to have submitted most or all of the data the FDA needs to analyze whether the salmon are safe to eat, nutritionally equivalent to other salmon, and safe for the environment, according to government and biotech industry officials. A public meeting to discuss the salmon may be held as early as this fall. Well, maybe there's a topic for our food safety progress meetings in October in Portland. Some consumer and environmental groups are likely to raise objections to approval. Even within the FDA, there's been a debate about whether the salmon should be labeled as genetically engineered. And in parenthesis, we note that genetically engineered crops are not labeled. The salmon's approval would help open a path and set the precedent, my friends, for companies and academic scientists developing other genetically engineered animals, like cattle resistant to mad cow disease or pigs that could supply healthier bacon. Next in line behind salmon for possible approval would probably be the EnviroPig, developed at a Canadian university which has less phosphorus pollution in its manure. Yes. Glow-in-the-dark cats, spider goats, enviro pigs, man-bear pig. Why not? But lastly, on Food World Order is a story that we covered. Good God, when was it? The flashback is August of 2009. This story did originate from The Guardian in August of 2009. We covered it on Food World Order, and we have the flashback. Pure food obsession is latest eating disorder, but now Mike Adams of Natural News has got a bit of an update on this story, again, as it grows, and as we're going to see, 2020 covering the story recently. choosing healthy foods now called a mental disorder. In its never-ending attempt to fabricate mental disorders out of every human activity, the psychiatric industry is now pushing the most ridiculous disease they've invented yet, healthy eating disorder. This is no joke. If you focus on eating healthy foods, you're mentally diseased and probably need some sort of chemical treatment involving powerful psychotropic drugs. The Guardian newspaper reports fixation with healthy eating can be a sign of serious psychological disorder and goes on to claim this disease is called orthorexia nervosa, which is basically just Latin for nervous about correct eating. But they can't just call it nervous healthy eating disorder because that doesn't sound like they know what they're talking about. So they translate it into Latin where it sounds smart, even though it isn't. That's where most disease names come from. Doctors just prescribe the symptoms they see with a name like osteoporosis, which means bones with holes in them. But getting back to the fabricated orthorexia disease, The Guardian goes on to report, quote, "Orthorexics commonly have rigid rules around eating, refusing to touch sugar, salt, caffeine, alcohol, wheat, gluten, yeast, soy, corn, and dairy foods is just the start of their diet restrictions. Any foods that have come in contact with pesticides, herbicides, or contain artificial additives are also out." So, wait a second. Attempting to avoid chemicals, dairy, soy, and sugar now makes you a mental health patient? Well, yep, according to these experts. And if you actually take special care to avoid pesticides, herbicides, and genetically modified ingredients like soy and sugar, there's something wrong with you. Did you notice that eating junk food is assumed to be normal? If you eat processed junk foods laced with synthetic chemicals, that's okay with them. The mental patients are the ones who choose organic, natural foods, apparently.
On Friday, we showed you what can happen when your diet becomes your religion. John Stossel took you into the lives of people so obsessed with eating healthy, it makes them sick.
So is everyone hungry? Everyone ready to dig in?
Lots of people adopted radical diets.
Flaxseed crackers, dehydrated meatballs made out of nuts, sour creams made from probably cashews.
These people in New York City meet periodically to talk about how their diet of raw food only has improved their lives.
I feel a lot more well-rounded and happier in general, and I feel like actually my digestion has gotten a lot better also.
The life force in this food is so much more powerful. Like, it keeps you going, you know. You just realize that this really is it.
A few short.
They don't think they have a problem, but they acknowledge that eating this way is time-consuming.
What we're doing?
It's something that's just constantly on my mind. Like this morning, I literally spent almost 3 hours preparing my food for the day.
Everybody should chew wheatgrass with blue-green algae.
Raw foods guru Victoria Skoldinska says they've made a good decision. The benefits of the diet outweigh its rigors.
More and more starlets, Hollywood material people, are basically going raw.
We're told that includes Demi Moore, Woody Harrelson, Carol Alt.
Why? Because they last longer. They look better.
Could it be because they're dumb and they go for food fads?
Well,
like yours?
It's far from being a food fad. It's a trend that has taken over 50 years to make it happen, and it's happening right now.
It's helped you be healthier?
Absolutely. Most people would find a difficulty time at any age to bring their hands together in this fashion over here. I feel much younger and more alive at this age than I did in my 30s.
But you look, forgive me, kind of emaciated.
Well, that's because I've been on the road for a long time, and I don't eat 3 meals a day, so I lost a few pounds.
But you're only 8 years older than I, mm-hmm. and you look much older.
Is that right? Well, I'm not going to argue that issue.
Of course, some people might say that obsessing about health food is no worse than pursuing other fanatical passions, like hoarding things or compulsive shopping. Kalvinska says orthorexics are emotionally unstable people to begin with. People like Johnny Regini and Charlotte Anderson, who have prior histories with other eating disorders. They take sound dietary teachings and twist them to unhealthy extremes. But he should know. Why should we believe you when you've got your own problem history of eating? You write, "I was eating only live food. It left me bloated and fatigued, so I made myself vomit."
Mm-hmm. I was detoxifying a lot of the emotional crap from my early childhood of fear experience, and eventually I managed to survive that experience.
It's not clear that Johnny Regini will be able to survive his experience.
Last time I weighed myself, I was about 78 pounds. I'm 26 years old, and I was told my bones are equivalent to someone 85 years old, That's pretty depressing.
And yet, he stays locked in the grip of his orthorexic eating.
Why would I want to stop? Why would I want to eat that stuff and kill myself even faster? That's what my orthorexic mind says. How can I stop?
Charlotte Anderson was finally able to stop. Aside from damaging her relationships with friends and her own children, she realized that her healthy eating was actually wrecking her health.
I was tired all the time. You know, you can count all my ribs. I was very unhealthy, which is so ironic that I was trying so hard to be healthy and ended up so unhealthy.
Okay. With therapy, she was able to relax her dietary rules and give up those precious food logs.
That was a huge feeling for me. I felt so liberated. I was trying so hard to control how I was going to die, and in the end, nobody gets to pick how they die. We only get to pick how we live, and I wasn't living.
It would take all day to knock down the straw man in that clip on healthy eating as a disorder. You'll find that the mainstream media always puts up the weakest arguments and says that that pretty much embodies everybody. And that's what it's all about. They're going to tar everybody with these weakest examples. The straw men. The kooks. But we're going to have to leave foodworldorder.com behind and move to all the latest on cyberspacewar.com on this B-side episode 175 from MediaMonarchy.com. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show. MediaMonarchy.com, foodworldorder.com, and here, cyberspacewar.com. First, the story that, one, we've been tracking since the now year-plus-long running of Cyberspace War. But especially in recent weeks, the bill that has gotten the traction from Mr. Independent, Joe Lieberman, his cybersecurity bill keeps moving forward. So this one from Tech World: Obama Internet Kill Switch Plan approved by U.S. Senate. A U.S. Senate committee has approved a wide-ranging cybersecurity bill that some critics have suggested would give the president the authority to shut down parts of the Internet during a cyber attack. Senator Joe Lieberman and other bill sponsors have refuted the charges that the Protecting Cyberspace as a National Asset Act gives the president an internet kill switch. Instead, the bill puts limits on the power the president already has to cause the closing of any facility or stations for wire communication in a time of war, as described in the Communications Act of 1934. They said, that would be Lieberman and other bill sponsors, in a breakdown of the bill published on the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee website. The committee unanimously approved an amended version of the legislation by voice vote last Thursday, a committee spokeswoman said. And now the bill moves to the Senate floor for a vote, which has not yet been scheduled. So it's been approved, and now they're going to vote on it. So much more on this story from InformationWeek.com. Senate.gov, PC Mag. You can read about the Communications Act of 1934, more from Huffington Post and Prison Planet, and our flashbacks covering this Lieberman story. But let's move to the July 1st DEF CON list of ugly headlines on cyberspacewar.com. Fight the Net, Biomet, and International Sex Station. The first from Tom Burkhart of Anti-Fascist Calling: the secret state's mad scheme to control the net, which goes along with the story we just went over. Furthermore, from executivegov.com, comprehensive cyber legislation approved. Now, this isn't the iPatriot Act that we've referred to, but again, this is just greasing the skids. This is setting the precedent. And again, they're already saying, well, the president puppet before the current president puppet has already taken all kinds of unconstitutional powers unto himself. Obama still already has those. That's why Lieberman and these guys can say, oh, just calm down. It doesn't give them any great new powers. It just codifies and solidifies the insane ones they already have. Windows 8 features such as biometrics revealed in leaked Microsoft documents. Now, the story kind of buried that lead that it's got facial recognition software in there. But more on that from Huffington Post. White Hat uses Foursquare privacy hole to capture 875,000 check-ins. You may recall several weeks ago, maybe even a few months ago, we went over this Foursquare phenomenon where people play a game and you check in online and you see where people are. But we've covered the holes and the flaws in this platform, both covert and overt. We went over the site called pleaserobme.com that goes over showing when people are obviously far away from their homes and blabbing about it. This latest captures, like we said, 875,000 check-ins. White hat meaning, I'm doing this bad thing in a good way to show you the flaws in your security. When we talk about drills in false flag terror, or in this case, maybe virtual flag terror, these drills and the private military contractors and the patsies and the moles and the mercenaries, sometimes drills go live, sometimes the red team gets through, sometimes the black hats win. An interesting one from a site I just got turned on to from my man Zach, technocult.net. Like techno occult. Impediments to a post-scarcity future, much too weighty a topic to get into right here and now. Obama space plan under continuous assault. And lastly, NASA commander says sex is banned aboard the International Space Station. But the latest from Paul Joseph Watson on the latest in the ongoing attacks to internet freedoms and the very things that let me do what I'm doing right now and try and give open source intelligence to folks out there as we're all learning and figuring all this out. Cybersecurity measures would mandate government ID tokens to use the net. The move to shut down and regulate the net under a new government-controlled system has accelerated into high gear with the announcement that the government's cybersecurity strategy revolves around issuing internet users with ID tokens without which they will not be able to visit websites. This latest salvo against web freedom, which, in combination with Senator Joe Lieberman's kill switch bill, will serve to eviscerate the free net as we know it. Under the guise of cybersecurity, the government is moving to discredit and shut down the existing internet infrastructure in pursuit of a new, centralized, regulated World Wide Web. This exact story was outlined in a paper published by Obama's cybersecurity coordinator, Microsoft Bush crony Howard Schmidt, which was compiled with the aid of the National Security Council. We went over that last week, basically a driver's license for the internet. This strategy that we're referring to, ID tokens, revolves around, quote, the creation of a system for identity management that would allow citizens to use additional authentication techniques, such as physical tokens or modules on mobile phones, to verify who they are before buying things online or accessing such sensitive information as health or banking records, reports the mouthpiece to the elites and their cronies, the Financial Times. Only with this government-issued token will internet users be allowed to able to move from website to website, a system not too far removed from what China proposed and rejected for being too authoritarian, which you'll recall in the clip we played last week of Joe Lieberman saying, China has strict controls like this. I think we need that here. But lastly, salaciously, internet porn to get its own red light district as .XXX name approved. This from The Guardian. The internet could soon have its own red light district after the .XXX suffix was approved, though pornography companies are not keen to use it. ICANN, I-C-A-N-N, the organization which determines what top-level domains, such as .com or .uk, can be added to the Internet, announced that it will begin the process of registering .XXX by making checks on ICM Registry, the company that now wants to run the domain and sell the registrations. ICANN stands for the Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers. And we're going to get to, in just a moment, appropriately enough, a couple of clips. We're going to interview, well, there's a clip with an interview of Internet entrepreneur Stuart Lawley, who's the head of ICM Registry. And we also have a clip from my new friends on YouTube.com/Media Monarchy, and that's YouTube.com/Naked News Headlines, where they announce ICANN announcing the .XXX domain names, appropriately enough. But continuing, it marks the closing stages of a 10-year battle by ICM Registry, now run by the British Internet entrepreneur Stuart Lawley, to get the XXX domain set up so that legal pornography sites can be found in a single grouping. But many pornography companies are unhappy with the idea of a dedicated space online because they expect that as soon as .XXX is implemented, conservative members of the U.S. Congress will lobby to make any sex-related website re-register there and remove itself from other domains such as .com or .org. That would mean that sex sites could be more easily filtered out from web searches and lower their revenues. Free speech advocates also worry that sites about topics seen by U.S. conservatives as controversial, such as homosexuality, might also be forced to use the .XXX suffix. The .XXX domain is notable for only having ICM Registry, which stands to benefit from every domain name it sells. Lawley says he expects to make $30 million a year in revenue by selling each .XXX site for $60 and pledges to donate $10 from each sale to child protection initiatives. And that's the issue here. Something that sounds like a good idea initially on its face, in that won't somebody please think of the children kind of way. But like all of these attacks on personal liberties, it starts off sounding reasonable. It starts off being aimed at someone that a lot of the populace can get behind and say, well, yeah, that makes sense. Whether that's putting RFID chips in your Alzheimer's grandmother so she doesn't get lost, or putting them in your pets so they don't get lost. Or that we just want to listen to the terrorist phone calls. So anything that may deal with icky, dirty sex could be squashed. And I didn't add it in here, but we do have the flashback during the bailout mania in the implementation of the new financial world order by Wall Street puppet Barry Satoro. Larry Flint and whatever the douche's name that runs Girls Gone Wild is, I forget. They wanted in. They wanted some bailout action. Can't blame them. And we should note right now on Google News, unemployment rate falls, but momentum weak in job market. And we'll get to all the Econo Crash updates on the upcoming episode 176 for Media Monarchy. And that's pretty much going to do it for this B-side of episode 175. But we're going to go out with those aforementioned clips. We're going to hear, secondly, from Stuart Lawley, the British Internet entrepreneur who runs ICM Registry, who stands to make millions upon millions of dollars on this new .XXX scheme. And, of course, the Naked News headlines. We gotta laugh and gotta have fun in some ways, my friends. My name is James Evan Pilato. I'm your host and webmaster of the site and show, MediaMonarchy.com, FoodWorldOrder.com, and CyberSpaceWar.com, reminding you, as always, don't hate the media, become the media. Take care.
The Internet Corporation for Assigned Names and Numbers, a.k.a. ICANN, has just announced a landmark ruling on the future of online porn. The board has approved the use of .XXX domain names for sites containing adult material. They say it'll help keep people from accidentally stumbling onto porn sites and help create more defined categories for web content.
Well, we've got a friend from last time, Stuart Lawley, CEO of ICM, ICM, which is the registry for the .XXX. TLD. We had a decision by the board last time to keep the decision down, decision on the on whether to launch the registry down to another meeting. It's on the agenda this time. You know, what have you been hearing? What are people saying? What do they think this question is about?
Yeah, I mean, this is now all about accountability, and I kind of made that clear. Subsequent to the Nairobi meeting, they issued an options paper that went out for public comment, and that ran for 45 days. And basically the same arguments, previous arguments, were rehashed, with the exception that this time many members of the ICANN community spoke forward, came forward, like the ALAC and the NCUC, saying that ICANN must show its accountability. And this is particularly timely with the Accountability and Transparency Review Team meeting here in Brussels too. So this is very much about ICANN's accountability, and we're hearing through the community, the ICANN community here, that the members of the ICANN community very much want to see ICANN to be accountable and to stick to their own published processes.
So that's, you've had conversations here with people in the hallways, and that's what people are saying?
Registries, registrars, ALAC, NCUC, the business constituency, everybody seems to get it, and they want to see this move forward.
Yeah, so what do you think, if you could prognosticate about what the board's going to do on Friday? We're actually doing this, now, for full disclosure, today is Wednesday, the board's going to make a decision on Friday. Where do you see this going?
We're expecting definitely a vote on Friday, and hopefully a positive decision. In the press conference just after the opening ceremony, the chair, Peter Dengate, quite clearly said that ICANN had embraced the decision of the IRP, and it was time for them to right the wrongs.
Well, I guess we may have a new TLD before the first round, right? But that would be yours.
I hope so.
Yeah. So anyways, well, thanks for taking the time, and we'll see you on the next edition of the Dining Video Blog here from Brussels, Belgium. Thanks.
Okay, cheers.
How would you explain it?
Combining music and stylized images.
I mean, so it's all remote control.
Each one of those images was electronically based.
Say out on my threat.
And that concludes our program for tonight.
Yep. This could really catch on.
I can't remember when I've been so moved.